Here inside the studios at KATE 1450, we're joined over the phone by Greg Holcomb, a former Albert Lea basketball player, as we're taking the time without sports around the area to talk to some people who were sports figures of the past, and Albert Lea in the surrounding area as well. Greg, we thank you for taking some time to talk to us here on KATE. I want to start just by asking, as I've asked everyone we've talked to at this kind of point in what we're doing here, what have you been up to kind of fill the void that no sports have left? I don't know about you, but for me, I've kind of realized that I don't really have any other hobbies. I just go to work, talk about sports, go home, watch sports, and it's been kind of a void for me that I've had to try and fill. How have you been dealing with the time when, well, normally you'd be sitting on the couch watching games?
Yeah, it's a real void. I've been tuning into Netflix is what I've been doing in lieu of sports, you know, but I'm really anxious. I'm really missing the Twins games right now. I love to follow the Twins during the summer, and so that's one of the big misses for me right now is the Twins game. Of course, March Madness, along with the Masters and the U.S. Open, British Open, all those golf tournaments that are being postponed and/or canceled. So there's a big void for things that I usually watch and pay attention to in terms of sports.
Yeah, now a lot of businesses and companies are struggling. Netflix is not one of them during this time.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Let's get a little bit into just your story. Just give us real quickly before we dive in, just a background of your history with sports from going back as early as you can to playing just into however long you want to get into it just with your involvement in sports in general.
Yeah, so I started, you know, in youth I played t-ball growing up, you know, and I was very young. Then I moved into youth baseball, and I was actually in wrestling for a while when I was young. And then in high school, I started playing basketball. I didn't really start playing the game until eighth grade, other than shooting baskets in my driveway. And then I started playing competitively with some of the high school team, you know, guys that were 2 and 3 years older than me. So I started playing with those guys, and they're like, you know, you should try out for the team. And so I set up the team in my junior year, and I played 9th and 10th grade basketball, and I tried out for the team in my junior year, and I made the team. So that was kind of cool. So I played basketball for 2 years at Albert Lea, and then I came out of there and then started working, and then golf took over as my main sport. So I've been golfing since my about my year in high school. I've been playing golf, and so that's kind of filled the void for my own personal activity in sports.
How's your golf game going now? I mean, you mentioned since basically the end of basketball, you've turned over to golf now. What are you ended up shooting?
Yeah, well, it's great. I mean, I was down shooting in the 80s for a while. Now my game's gotten worse. So I don't even want to tell you what I'm shooting now, but I think I need new clubs and a new attitude, and I think I'll be okay. I've got the fundamentals down. My swing's okay, but I've developed, I think I've got some mental going on off game I can overcome.
Yeah, it's a big mental sport, too, just as much as it is physical.
Definitely.
You mentioned you did a lot early on, baseball, wrestling, then you got into basketball, too. What's the earliest memory you have of a sport kind of just grabbing onto you, where you got that itch for it, whether it be a taste of victory or just a particular play where you remember, man, that felt good. I want to keep doing that. I want to work harder so I can keep getting that kind of feeling.
It was hitting the baseball what grade was I in? Probably sixth grade. My first at bat, and I think it was the first pitch, but I jacked a home run. And that was a really awesome feeling for me. Was hitting, I mean, just you didn't even feel the ball come off the bat, you know. So I hit a home run, and that was kind of what made me come back to playing the game. And it gave me, you know, gave me my thirst for the game was hitting the ball.
You mentioned you didn't even start playing basketball really until like eighth grade. You start playing with some of the older guys and get the hang of things from them. Do you feel like any of those prior sports experiences helped you out physically and getting involved with basketball? Obviously, just the mental mindset of getting into sports can transfer from one over to another.
Yeah, I think the mental mindset, but also the agility, you know, and speed and hand-eye coordination. So there's definitely some transfer of skills from different sports that you play to then end up where I played basketball.
Now, when you get on that high school team, you're playing under Ori Jirly, and obviously he's a name that everyone in Albert Lea knows. If you've seen that gymnasium, you've seen it on the court.
Yep.
What was it about him that made him the kind of coach that, well, won state championships over in Rochester and then gets names on courts here in Albert Lea?
He was a one-of-a-kind coach. I mean, he was very hard on, but he was very, discipline was his kind of his forte, and he was pretty direct in how he talked to his players, you know. But he had background of, I think he played at St. Bonaventure when his college years, and so he had some experience playing big time basketball, and he just had a great knowledge of the game. He was a great guy. He was, you know, when you had something to fix, he was there to help you fix it. But if you made him, you know, if you made a mistake again, he was pretty vocal about using that mistake again. But all around, he was a great guy. When you're talking to him, he felt like he's the only guy in the room. He knew the game very well and knew the mental aspects of it very well. He's just, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Ori Jirly. It's really too bad he passed.
Was there a balance between the way he would handle one player over to another? A lot of coaches talk about how every player is different. You got to deal with each guy in a different kind of way. Did you sense that from him?
Yeah. His approach to player A was different than player B. And he, you know, based upon the personality profile of that player, he would talk to them. And so he could really relate to the players because he knew what made each player tick. And so he could, you know, then he could, you know, change his demeanor based upon how that player was going to react to different criticism and different coaching.
Do you have a favorite memory from your Albert Lea basketball days, whether it be something with Coach Jirly or just anything from your time playing at any level?
You know, one of my favorite memories is this is really off the court, but we were driving home from a game, I don't know where it was, Rochester, I think, but Ori was driving the bus, actually, and it wasn't a huge bus, it was a medium-sized bus, but he was anxious to get back to Albert Lea, and I think he had some after game plans. He was driving, and he was behind going kind of slow, and he kind of yelled out, you know what, he said, sometimes driving too slow can be just as dangerous as driving too fast, so he pretty wound up at that point. The slow driver and in the car from I think it was Rochester, but that was my favorite because I knew he wanted. I think he would go home and drink beer with Jerry Butts, who was the assistant. His son Scott Butts played on the team, and so I think those two were beer drinking buddies. You know, I think they wanted to go home and drink beer. That's my perception.
Well, I want to ask you as well, just as someone who played the game of basketball, what's coming up on close to 40 years ago now, at least at the high school level, and you look at the way the basketball is played now and how much things have changed, all the analytics and all the three-point shooting and things like that. Is it different for you to understand the game that way? What is your take on just the way the game has changed overall, and do you feel like there's anything that today's game is kind of missing from what you guys were playing in the 80s?
Well, I think what's now, I didn't play multi-sports when I was in high school. I just played basketball, but I think what's really sticks out today is that how people are specializing in one sport, and they're really, at least up in the metro area, and I don't know if it's true down there, but they're picking one sport, specializing in that sport, getting you know, coach in that sport outside the school. They're going to private places to get coaching and practicing on their field of play, whatever that may be. And I think there's a little bit a little bit of, I don't know, there's something lost in between how people now are only playing one sport, it seems like, for most people, and they're focusing all the energy on that when it's, when, you know, youth sports in general should be, I think you should try to play as many as you can. And the other thing about, so you talked about a little bit about the metrics behind the game. We didn't have any of those metrics at all. We had some basic metrics about field goal percentages and things like that. But I mean, the way the analytics have evolved, we had nothing like that before. I think it's, at least for youth sports, I think it's almost gone a little bit too far in that direction too. You know, I think that it could be more of playing the game and, you know, enjoying the game, and everybody plays to win, and that's, you want to win. But I think if you just kind of relax a little bit on the metrics and the little sport focus, I think you'd have a little bit better of an experience as a high schooler.
I guess kind of going off that metric kind of thing, how is scouting and preparing for teams different than compared to now? Because now, obviously, everyone just has phones or whatever they have to record everything that they do. Games and coaches are exchanging film all the time. Did you have film exchanges back then? And this might just be me showing how young I am at this point, but just what did you guys do to prepare for, say, upcoming games with teams? Was there things for you to actually look at? Was it coaches just going to teams' games?
The coaches were just traveling to teams' games and watching them, because we didn't ever study film in the games, but the coaches would go watch games and different people, like I mentioned, I think it was Jerry Butt, he would go out look at games, and so would Sofferson, and those guys would watch, come back to Ori with some intelligence on who were the people to watch and who was good and who wasn't. But we didn't have any film back then that we watched, so it was just kind of sending out some people to watch games and reporting back to Ori. And then Ori took in their share of games too, but then it come back to report to Ori, and he would develop a game plan from there. So pretty different.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it's better being able to get that film now, but I feel like something of having that value for the players, at least, in having that assistant coach going out and knowing that he knows something that you don't about another team. But anywho, moving on to just looking back at what you did before and the way high school athletes are working now. You got into it a little bit by mentioning just playing multiple sports and the specializing and things like that. What's something that you would tell high school athletes today as a key to making the most of the opportunity they have and making sure that they're playing the best basketball, baseball, whatever it may be that they can?
I think it'd be, well, listen, you want to compete to win, but don't forget about the fun part of it and the team part of it. You make your lifelong friends on those teams. I think, you know, play to win, but have fun doing it and you know, kind of cherish the memories that you have with those guys that are your teammates, because it's, you know, time goes by fast and you know, you got to hang on to those relationships. It's important that you understand that in the moment that you are making lifetime memories there and developing friendships that'll go on for many years.
Greg Holcomb joining us here on KATE 1450. We got one more for you before we let you go. I've been asking everybody this just because there's nothing to do. You mentioned you've been watching a lot of Netflix. What's one, and we've been asking for sports-related kinds of things, but it certainly doesn't have to be, a movie, TV show, book, something that you think people should be watching if they haven't already?
I think that, the movie 1970 is one I'd highly recommend. If you haven't seen that, I would like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. The film is amazing. It's almost like the whole movie is completely in one shot. I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they pulled off. And also, Jack Ryan Prime Video was really good. Netflix Ozark is great, so I give you more than one, but if you've had to pick my favorite, it'd be the movie 1970. I think that was a movie, an incredible one.
Alright, you broke up a little bit there, but you got 1917, Ozark, and then also it was the Jack Ryan series
on
Amazon
Prime Video. Yeah.
Alright, cool. Well, more for you to write down if you're listening in to put on your watch next list or whatever it may be on whatever platforms you have. Again, Greg, thanks again for calling in for a little bit to talk about just your story in sports here in Albert Lea. And we'll hopefully get a chance to talk to you again in the future, too, as it's been real fun.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.